So last Sunday, some of you heard me at the end of the Easter worship service. I was talking to some worshipers. I hadn't seen them in a while. And I said, after they indicated that they thought it was a nice service, I said, we do this every week. You're supposed to laugh. They didn't laugh either. They looked at me. But it's true, isn't it? We do this every week, right? Other churches too, but every Sunday at Colonial Avenue Baptist Church, it's Easter. Every Sunday is Easter. Why? Well, that's what John is trying to tell us today. It's a not so subtle subtext of the story. It's about doubting Thomas. One of those messages is all more powerful because we overhear it while listening to John tell us about Thomas. But there's another message. There's another message included in this message about doubting Thomas. Look at the story. So the disciples are gathering, and they're in an upper room. They're behind closed doors. Does this sound familiar? And it's a Sunday, the first day of the week. And suddenly, mysteriously, Jesus is with them. First Easter, right? And Jesus says, peace be with you. And then Jesus says this, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And then Jesus breathes on them. He's breathing and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. This is John's version of the Pentecost. The first Easter Sunday. And how every Sunday is Easter. Every Sunday is Easter. The same thing happens again. It's Easter again. The very next week, same thing. Jesus gathers with us every time we gather. And Jesus speaks to us and says, peace be with you. Anybody here need the peace of Christ? And then Jesus breathes on us. Anybody here near need the comforter to breathe on you? Jesus commissions us and empowers us to go back into the world and then invites us to return again and gather with his disciples, and he will be there. What do we call that? We call that church. Jesus gives us peace. Jesus empowers us. Jesus sends us out. And then Jesus invites us back. Wow. Every Sunday? Every Sunday. We do this every Sunday. Every week. Same thing. Yeah, pretty much. How many times have you heard somebody say, you know, I don't know how I'd make it if I didn't have church on Sunday. Boy, I would really miss that. And we do. Traditionally, the second Sunday of Easter is called Low Sunday. You know why they call it Low Sunday? Attendance is down. the ladies of the church didn't feed us breakfast this morning. You notice that? I was looking around for breakfast. I didn't get any. They didn't have any breakfast today. Children didn't find any eggs unless they found some that were from last week and they didn't get found. And it's still Easter. See, because Jesus is here, living abundantly, giving us life, right here with us, breathing on us. Happens every Sunday. I can't explain it. I don't think if you had some very sensitive scientific instruments, you could measure it. You could catch him speaking if you ran the tape of the service backwards in slow motion. I've heard people try because they wanted to hear Jesus. Doesn't work that way. But we know he's here. We can feel him and we can see him in each other. Look around you. Look across the room. You see Jesus? Some of you are saying, I don't see Jesus. Some of the kids look up here and they say, there's Jesus. He's in the pulpit. I had one child tell me, I want to eat lunch with you, Jesus. And I said, I try to resemble him, but I'm not. If you spend the week with me, you'll find out. But he's here. And you know what? We look a lot like the disciples. We've got everybody here. It's really diverse. We've got lifelong Democrats. Any lifelong Democrats? You don't have to raise your hand. Any lifelong Republicans? We've got lifelong Republicans. And we've got people who've always been Baptist. And we got some people here who said they would never be Baptist. And look at them now. We've got people with children and people with no children and people with partners and people with no partners and people who grew up in town and folks who grew up in the country. And we got big people and little people and upper class and middle class and lower class and lower upper middle and middle upper lower and a few with no class at all. We got them all, don't we? Everybody's here. And we're messy and complicated, and I get it, from top to bottom, side to side, we'd make a fine study for any anthropologist or maybe a gaggle of German psychologists. They'd be tapping their pipes and nodding their brows and talking in loud whispers, and they would scratch furiously with their pencils. Very interesting, they would say, as they looked at us as a lot. And even for our small size, we're a human zoo. Hodgepodge. The only thing that holds us together is Jesus. It's right in the middle of it all. Jesus. And we all share that in common, don't we? And that's the most important thing, isn't it? How do we know that Jesus is here? Maybe we're just self-deceived. Well, for one thing, it's the way we treat the Thomases among us. I suppose one time or another, or maybe from time to time, we are all Thomas. His Greek name was Didymus, which means twin. Did he actually have a twin, or did they just call him that? Was that a nickname, metaphorical? We don't know. We've never told. But maybe it was because Thomas was divided, the divided mind, the inner battle we all share, the human condition. Maybe he's called the twin because he's our twin. He's a whole lot like us. Because we don't think he had one. Funny, isn't it? He's called the twin, but he didn't have one. He's one of us. He's our kind, our mirror image, if you will. We've nicknamed him Doubting Thomas. And so he is. We might just as well call him cynical Thomas. Remember how when Jesus decided to go to Bethany when Lazarus had died, even though he was heading into clear danger? Thomas said, might as well go die with him. He's headed to Jerusalem. We'll go too. And wherever you go, if you die, we'll die with you. We could call him practical Thomas. When Jesus got a little too metaphysical and esoteric in his preaching, Thomas brought him down, asked him to put it plain and simple. Remember when Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. In my house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I go what I've told you, and would I go and prepare a place for you? Remember that in John's Gospel, chapter 14? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And what did Thomas say? Lord, what in the Sam Hill are you talking about? That's what Thomas said. Lord, what in the Sam Hill are you talking about? Where are you going? You need to tell us where you're going, because we don't have any idea. Right? Plain and simple. And Jesus says this, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And Thomas was like, my heavens, I have no idea what he's talking about. But that was Thomas. Practical. Right? Put it to me straight. Just tell me where you're going, so we know how to get there. In his title story, Doubting Thomas shows us the complexity of doubt. It's not just one emotion, it's many. To be sure, doubt is cognitive. It's something that Thomas confronts, something that is in the orbit of the human experience. But Thomas doesn't doubt mainly because it offends his scientific sensibility. Thomas' doubt is about his isolation. The rest of his friends are buzzing about this experience they had. Have you ever been there? And he got left out. Anybody ever been left out? All your friends talking? Oh man, it was fantastic. And then what do they always say? Well, you had to be there. Where was Thomas? I mean, on Easter morning, where was Thomas? You know what happened? He didn't know it was Easter. Nobody told him. You're right. I don't know. He didn't know. Nobody told him. Did he sleep in? Had he been out late Saturday night? Maybe it was raining. I don't know. He didn't want to come to church. It was cold outside. Maybe he decided he was going to sleep in and take a donkey ride out to see the flowers on the hillside. I don't know, you know. Maybe they were running the Jerusalem 10K that day. And, you know, he'd love to come, but he didn't want to bother with all the traffic. Maybe he just didn't feel like getting dressed. You know, and he was cozying down with the Jerusalem Times and a cup of coffee, and he thought to himself, there is no way I am getting out of this bed this morning. Not going to happen. And he missed Easter. He missed it. He didn't know. Nobody told him. Or he didn't think they told him. So I never miss an opportunity with this story to say, you see what happens? You see what happens when you miss a single Sunday? You see what happens? You can imagine how he feels. I mean, really. All his friends are buzzing about this experience, this thing they had, this story they're telling. I mean, you can imagine how he feels, can't you? I mean, they all come together and he's there and they're all talking and Thomas is like, what? And they say, Thomas, you had to be there. You know what Woody Allen said? One of my favorite Woody Allen quotes. 90% is just showing up. You get an A. You have to be there. Or you don't know. You can imagine, though, we're always talking about how we have this experience. And Thomas said, I don't get it. I don't get it. And he asked the question nobody else wanted to ask. You know, when it comes to relationship and this longing for intimacy, nobody wants to feel left out. Do they? You know, when you look at your Facebook thing and all this stuff, everybody, who's on Facebook? Are y'all getting off of that now? Is it everybody's like getting away from that and stuff? My wife does my Facebook page, just so you all know. If you send me something, I have absolutely no idea. She sends it to me, and she says, you got to get on Facebook because somebody else is like, she took over my Facebook page. I don't know. I have 9 churches represented on there. There's 1,000 or so people. And so she said, so-and-so, who is that anyway? And I said, I think that was church number 2. And but we want intimacy, don't we? We want to be included. We want to be included. We want to be a part. We want to be welcomed in. Nobody wants to be on the outside. It's the funniest thing. We subvert intimacy. We need connection, and we behave in ways that disconnect ourselves from each other. Gossip, triangulation, kills intimacy, kills community. We say we want to be close to one another, then we create an environment that keeps those that we don't care for away from us. Right? Put him at a safe distance. Thomas probably had some guilt behind his doubt too, because he wasn't there when he should have been. Or maybe he feels rejected, even unworthy, since Jesus didn't wait to appear when he was there. I mean, how come you showed up when I wasn't around? Can you imagine? Why didn't you wait for me? Maybe Thomas feels some fear, because if it's true, everything's going to change, and everything will be changing. More and more will be required. So you see, Thomas's doubt isn't just cognitive. It's cognitive, but it's more than that. It's emotional. It's relational. It's spiritual. Khalil Gibran says, doubt is pain, too lonely to know that faith is his twin brother. Interesting. Faith always stands in tension with doubt. Doubt will always challenge faith. And it should, because it's going to move you to a deeper and deeper level. It's okay to doubt. It's okay to struggle. It's okay to have questions. It's okay to work with those and struggle with those questions. But it's not okay to stay there. You know what I mean? You know, some people who are doubting and struggling with their faith, and that's okay for a while. And some people just stay there. They get stuck. And they can't move on. Go ahead, ask the questions. Struggle with the questions. Deal with the questions. But don't stay there. Eventually, you got to move to what? Faith. The scripture says that faith is what? We get a definition of faith in Hebrews 11:1. If you haven't memorized it, you should. Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews. It's why every man makes the coffee. It's in the Bible. Hebrews. So that's why men make the coffee. It's in the Bible, okay? So just so you know. And then it's 11:1. Is that easy or what? And you get a definition of faith. A definition of faith. How about that? Faith gets defined. And the scripture says, memorize it. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Did you hear that? The assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. That's faith. We get a definition. So what are you hoping for? Huh? Yeah, Christ's return. Yeah. Well, and what do you believe in, though you haven't seen it? Is there anything you believe exists, even though you haven't been there or seen it? Yeah. And you believe it, and you believe it in your heart, and you live it. And folks, let me just tell you something. We sang about children today, and you've heard the children. You can watch the children up here. I love to do it. But I'll tell you what. There's more faith in a child . Just watch them. And didn't Jesus say you need to become like a in order to enter the kingdom of heaven? Just watch them. Man. Do they believe? Without a doubt. It's incredible. It's incredible. I told my wife the other day, she said, you need to stop being a child. And I said, well, honey, but Jesus told me in order to get into heaven, I got to be a child. She said, no doubt you're getting in. Somebody agree with that. I got an amen from the amen corner, didn't I, over here. Faith. The faith of a child. Trust. Have you got it? I know God's a mystery. We're not going to get it all figured out. But in the end, you have to have faith. And I know the Thomases of this world, they get labeled as troublemakers, don't they? I know. Whatever we call Thomas, let's also call him Faithful Thomas, because in spite of the cynicism, in spite of his doubts, in spite of his anger, in spite of his sorrow, in spite of his pain, you know what? He showed up. He came. In spite of all of it, you can imagine what that must have been like. He had a lot of reasons not to come. You guys are crazy. You're nuts. That never happened. But that next Sunday, he was there. Wasn't he? He showed up. He had a lot of reasons not to. Maybe embarrassment, maybe anger, maybe whatever. But he had a lot of reasons not to. But he was there. He is Faithful Thomas. In spite of it all, he stays with it. He comes back. If he leaves, he won't ever have peace. If he stays, there's the possibility for healing. And whatever we may call Thomas, he's courageous too, because it isn't easy to stick in there when you feel wounded and everybody else is unhappy with you and everybody else is raining and you and they feel like you're trying to rain on their parade. But he stuck in there. So whatever you may call Thomas, you can call him a lot of things, but you call him faithful, you call him courageous, and you call him honest, because what does he say? Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, put my finger inside. This is Thomas. This is that kind of Thomas we know. This is a Thomas in the Bible. He wants to know. He wants it practical and down to earth. Jesus, if you're going to tell us where to go, you need to tell us and give us a place. Right? Jesus, if you rise, if he's risen from the dead, I want to put my fingers in the mark of the nails in my hand in his side, and I will not believe until I do. And guess what? He gets a right to. And he won't believe Jesus is alive until he feels the wounds. This isn't some kind of trick. I want to make sure it's real. And where does Jesus connect with Thomas? He shows up. Where does Jesus connect with Thomas? Wound to wound. Jesus connects to Thomas in the place of Thomas's pain and in the place of his pain, and he brings healing and faith. You see, we never get help until we admit we need help. We can never find healing until we're willing to deal honestly with our wounds. There's no cover-up. The risen Christ is the crucified Christ who stands with us first in our crucifixion. Before he gets to the resurrection. So let me come back to the story of the church. A lot of churches have a hard time putting up with Thomases among them. They're too negative. When everybody else is celebrating, they're saying, well, now wait just one doggone minute. They wet on the fire, you know? Put it out. So as if to say, Thomas is so realistic about everything that, come on, can't you have a little faith? And you know what? To have the doubters and the questioners is a real sign that Christ is among us. It's okay. And you know the word that never gets used in this story? Love. Never used in John's story of Thomas. The disciples, the risen Christ. Of course, that's what it's all about. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not even our doubts. It's good to know. It's not up to us. It's up to God, and God's taking care of it all. And nothing can separate us from the love of God, right? Nothing. Not even our doubts, okay? You're never going to be separated from the love of God. Never. It's up to Christ. And Christ has enough faith for us when we don't have it. When we're struggling to believe. But the church helps us to hang in there by loving us until Jesus can take us by the hand. We keep moving. In Traveling Mercies, one of my favorite books, Anne Lamott talks about why she made her son go to church. She says, the main reason is because I want to give him what I found in the world, which is to say a path, a little light to see by. Most of the people I know who have what I want, which is to say purpose, heart, balance, gratitude, joy, are people with a deep spirituality. They're people who are in community who pray or practice their faith. They're Buddhists, Jews, Christians, people banding together to work on themselves and for human rights. They follow a brighter light than this glimmer of their own little candle. They're part of something beautiful. Listen to the way she describes her church. When I was at the end of my rope, the people at St. Andrew tied a knot in it. Isn't that neat? So I could hold on. And the church became my home in the old meaning of home. That's where when you show up, they have to let you in, even though some of them didn't want to. Right? They let me in. They even said, come back. That's the kind of church we ought to be. And I know the church has a lot to answer for. What it's done to people in the name of Christ through the centuries, that's the dark side, the human side of the church. The church has a dual nature too. It's like every human institution. But do we fix it by running away? Do we? Do you fix it by running away? Some try that. You know what they lose? I lose all the good. All the positive. And there's a whole lot more positive than there is negative. The life-giving, soul-healing side of the church. If we abandon the church, we leave nothing for the next generation. Are you kidding me? Are we just going to leave it? Don't they matter? Don't they? Somewhere, somehow, even in the midst of the institutional trappings and abuses and the small band of disciples, you know, they keep gathering and they keep coming every Sunday. And Christ is there in the midst of them and healing their wounded spirit and breathing new life into them and then sending them out with His Word to go love the world. Every single week, the same thing happens. Yes! Yes! I told you last week, don't go home. I had one of our visitors, he said, you told me not to go home. Where am I supposed to go? Out with the good news. Empowered, strengthened, enlivened with a deeper faith, a trusting power that God's going to go with you in the world. And then you come back. Because you can't make it without each other. Oh, I know you think you can. But you can't. We need each other. Don't we? Well, this week, I had a great week. Tears of a confessing soul landing on my hands and his hands as we joined together in prayer. Prayed with a recovering woman as she was waiting in the healing confines of a hospital. I celebrated with a new couple as they joined together in marriage. Had some wonderful fellowship with some of you around the table sharing a meal, and those are the kind of things we do every week. Should do. Christ does. And it's Easter all over again. Now, like many of you, I know sometimes life just gets you down. Sometimes I don't feel that significant or important. And I don't feel like I matter. And if I show up or don't show up, it's not going to make any difference. There are a million people who could do what I do and probably do it in a much shorter time. So I don't feel that significant. But part of the community is what matters. I'm a member of a people who here and there and now and then, through all its human quirks and foibles, in spite of the faults and sins, reveal this God in a powerful way to the world. And this church, this beloved community, makes a difference. It matters. And Christ is reaching out to us with His nail-scarred hands. And I don't know about you, but I'm privileged to be a part of it. And I guess, like most of you, that's why you're here. But there are Thomases here too. It's not happening for you. It's okay. We're glad you're here. We're sorry you're struggling. And we just want to say, come back. Keep coming back. It may not be today, but you'll feel Him one day. It's Easter today and Easter next week and Easter every Sunday at Colonial Avenue Baptist. And if you stick with it and you come back sooner or later like Thomas, you know what? It'll be Easter for you too. Let's pray. Almighty God, please understand we don't doubt your power to do whatever. But we doubt that you could love us that much, that you would include us in your plans, that you would hear our prayers, and that you would heal our hurts. Risen Savior, we believe. Help us in our unbelief. Come among us today. And if we can't take your hand and hug your side, then let us take the hand and hug the side of one of your disciples who's also been wounded and healed in Christ's name. Renew us again today. Like the April wind and the spring rain, let's blossom forth in joy. Go out into the world with good news as we encounter this week with you by our side, and know that we'll return again next Sunday through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.